This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The G20's wrapped up and leaders didn't even get a trade agreement.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Leaders of the world's 20 strongest economies rang the closing bell on their annual summit today. It had looked like the main event in South Korea was going to be the currency dispute about trade between the United States and China, but in the end, less glamorous issues won over. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
It turns out the battle royale everyone is expecting had already happened in the messy lead-up to the summit. First, China was beaten up over its currency policies before everyone started piling on the U.S. for weakening its own currency. What emerged from the more civil G20 summit, says economist Michael Pettis, was a weak agreement for countries to keep an eye on unsustainable trade imbalances.
There's no framework for deciding what is an unsustainable imbalance, and there's no mechanism for forcing unsustainable imbalances to go away. So basically, it doesn't really mean much.
Countries with surpluses say they need them for growth. Deficit countries like the U.S. blame high unemployment on demand that's leaked abroad. Pettis says as long as both sides are convinced they're right, nothing will be accomplished. How will we know if today's agreed-upon framework will work? Leaders said they'd wait to finish their imbalance assessment at next year's G20 summit. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
New York Times today reports investment firm Morgan Stanley may be heading for a breakup with its quantitative trading unit. Now under the deal, Morgan Stanley would spin off the unit called Process-Driven Trading, only keeping a minority stake. There's been talk of a separation for years, but as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, financial reform is speeding things up.
Quantitative traders essentially use complicated mathematical formulas to decide what to buy and sell. The quant trading unit at Morgan Stanley has been immensely profitable, but the new financial regulations are complicating the quant desk's role at the bank because the new rules limit how banks are allowed to bet for their own accounts. James Angel is a finance professor at Georgetown University. He says spinning off the quantitative trading business could make the division even more profitable.
By separating the quant traders into a separate company, they won't have to deal with the same kind of regulation they would if they were part of a bank. This means that the quant traders will be able to do more things and potentially make more money.
Morgan Stanley's already spun off its hedge fund business, and other Wall Street firms, including Goldman Sachs, have been moving quantitative trading businesses off their books ahead of the financial reforms. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each down about 1.25%. The Dow now down 93 points, about 0.8%, at 11,189. Markets down around the world with fears about Irish debt and Chinese inflation. Fast food giant Wendy's said this morning it lost money in the latest quarter thanks to higher food costs and weak sales. Retailer JCPenney said today that big discounts boosted profits there, and German automaker Volkswagen said it sold 10% more cars in the last month over October of last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
The U.S. Postal Service said today it lost more money last year than earlier announced, $8.5 billion, more than $1 billion more than they thought. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has called the state legislature into special session. They'll meet in Sacramento starting December 6th to tackle another state deficit that's opened up since the last budget deal was reached a little more than a month ago. What was originally thought to be a $19 billion shortfall has turned into a more than $25 billion hole. Stephen Levy is director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. He's with us live from Palo Alto in the Bay Area. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
So where did this discrepancy come from, this $19 billion that all of a sudden became $25 billion?
The special session is dealing with that $6 billion gap. They're dealing with this year's budget. Next year's budget hasn't been put out by the governor. So the special session is to get started on $6 billion of really what could be called wishful thinking, federal aid from the federal government for Medi-Cal that everybody knew in October wouldn't happen. So they're going to sit down starting in December, probably going into January, to try and patch up what everyone knew was a hole in this year's budget. Then they'll get to next year's budget.
Now, Governor Schwarzenegger is calling the state legislature into special session to deal with this, as you mentioned, but isn't this a lame duck session? I mean, what does he expect to accomplish?
The governor-elect, Jerry Brown, has said we've got to get started on the budget early. So I think the legislature has to start early to talk about filling this $6 billion hole. I doubt that they will do it in December. First, they'll wait for the new governor's budget in January, and they'll meld the two discussions. But January is a great time to get started. And second, in November, we passed Prop 25, which gives the legislature the ability to pass a budget on majority vote. And so I expect the legislature would wait to January so the majority could control whatever cuts are made, where they are made.
And that's after the governor-elect gets sworn in, right, on January 3rd?
Right, but it's also when I think Prop 25 comes into effect.
And so the state legislature will just need a simple majority as opposed to a supermajority.
To pass a budget, not to do taxes.
Okay, all right.
So if it's cuts, they can do that.
Stephen Levy, director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right. And finally, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has a new Facebook page. It's just a few days old. It already has tens of thousands of fans. Unfortunately, some people haven't been very nice on her wall. One commenter wrote to the Queen, quote, "Get a job, pay your taxes, and be productive." Well, that's what you get, Your Majesty, when you mingle with the commoners. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there. You can see the numbers, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Big chains from Toys R Us to Borders are leasing temporary spaces and opening pop-up stores.
It's really, I think, about capturing the consumer's first impulse to make a purchase.
I'm Bob Moon. Visit while it lasts next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.